A name that is often associated with horror films is Sam Raimi. Sometimes he branches out into more lighthearted fare, such as superhero films. Today we look at a movie franchise that came about from Raimi's attempt to merge these two genres. On this Out of the Darkness edition of Shriek Previews!
Your heart will seize with fear. Monsters creeping near. It's time to lend an ear to Shriek Previews.
So Dan, those who listen to this podcast regularly will probably recall that not too long ago, we covered Sam Raimi's Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah.
And in that episode, we talked about Darkman, and you had mentioned how much you loved this movie. And I hadn't seen it in many, many years, decades, but I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And so, although it's more superhero-ish, it qualifies as horror on IMDb. So we said, yeah, hey, we gotta go into this. Now, Sam Raimi has done some other horrific style superhero films. He was the director for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Was he?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know that. I'm gonna have to see that now.
Yeah. And it gets pretty dark at certain places, and there's really definitely some Raimi-isms in there.
Oh, yeah. And he's that character of Doctor Strange is fitting for him.
Yeah.
Because Doctor Strange is mystical and he dabbles in, you know, superhero and horror and all this paranormal.
Yeah, there's definitely horror elements in that movie. And like I said, I don't want to say anything to spoil it for you. But you'll watch, you'll like, oh, yeah, that's Raimi, definitely. And some of the way the camera work is done. And even, like, he directed, I believe, the first two Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
And I just remember, especially in the first one, he's facing off against Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin. Mm. And the Goblin throws this goblin grenade or whatever at him that explodes in Spider-Man's face. And he gives out this blood-curdling scream, just like, ah! And I was like, wow, this is getting raw.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I remember that. Yeah, and I thought Willem Dafoe was great as
Goblin.
He's perfect.
Yes.
You know, the funny thing about Darkman is that I heard that at one point, Sam Raimi was trying to get a studio to let him do a superhero movie, and they wouldn't let him. So Darkman came about from him creating his own superhero.
Yeah.
So this is like, you could say, an off-brand superhero?
Right, yeah.
Generic. I mean, this kind of reminds me, well, it came out around the same time as RoboCop, I think 90, 91.
Okay.
And it kind of parallels each other. Like, I can see them in the same movie as superheroes fighting crime.
Interesting.
You know, in a separate type of different alternate off-brand universe, of superheroes.
I saw this movie as being Phantom of the Opera meets Batman.
Well, it was actually supposed to be a mixture of Elephant Man and Batman. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of DC's Ragman, if you ever remember Ragman.
Yeah. I guess before we go more into commentary on it, we should actually do the recap.
Yeah.
So, listeners, I'm Brent, and I'm here with Dan, and this is the Shriek Previews podcast. And today we are talking about Darkman, Sam Raimi's Darkman, and then Darkman 2. So if you haven't seen those movies, go watch them. Try not to, get your face burnt off, and then come back and listen to our recap. And then we'll get on with the commentary afterwards. But Dan, why don't you tell us a bit about Darkman?
So it's about Peyton Westlake. He's a scientist working on this type of material that will help burn victims or disfigured people, like an external skin.
Right, yeah, artificial skin.
An artificial skin, but it only lasts a certain time, like 99 minutes, and then it disintegrates. He finds out that the darkness makes it last longer, that, past the 99 minutes.
Yes,
photosensitive. His girlfriend, Julie, he wants to marry her, and she's unsure. She goes out on her business because she's a lawyer, And she gets wind of this memorandum, I forget what they call the Lazarius, or I forget the name of the memorandum. But yeah. In it, you know, it names some funds that were transferred for illicit purposes or some kind of
buy-offs. Yeah.
To buy-offs. And then they try to kill her off and find that memorandum, but they end up killing Westlake. He gets left for dead, or he gets, you know, they think he's dead. So the main villain in this is Larry Drake, plays Robert Durant. He's the main bad guy. He goes out hunting after Darkman. Julie gets kidnapped by Durant and his cronies, and Darkman goes to rescue her. And then at the end, he goes off into the darkness, leaving her. Yes. That's basically it.
Yeah. Well, that was a bit more than 60 seconds, but it was still abbreviated, so you can't be perfect every time. You know, this movie was Liam Neeson before he was a big superstar.
Yeah, this put him on the map. Because after this movie is when I started seeing him in major films.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a good move for him.
Yeah.
And what a story. I really enjoyed this.
I will say that the visual effects didn't age well.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell this is a 90s movie. I would love to see this movie redone.
Oh, me too. I would love it. But without all the silly franchise, the sequels.
Right, yeah. Just Darkman.
Yeah, you know. This made a lot of money in the movie, in the box office. Very comic book-esque, so makes it really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting characters, even though not believable. This one... this is 1 year after Timothy Burton's Batman. So it's like the start of the superhero movies, because after that you had all these other superhero movies coming out.
Sure.
And like I said, this is like, this is not a brand name superhero.
No.
It's its own guy.
Right. Yeah. This wasn't adapted from a comic book. This was something that Sam Raimi thought up.
Yeah, exactly. Great villain by Larry Drake as Robert Durant. You can see the Raimi style in full force. This is my favorite Sam Raimi film. This is my favorite, even more than Spider-Man, because you can see the origins of the superhero genre in movies. You see it take off, and this is just a terrific, fun film.
I love the, you know, it's typical Raimi campiness with when the warehouse explodes.
Oh, yeah.
And
the dialogue in this, man.
Right?
Yeah.
But, and Westlake, instead of going like flying out the window, he shoots straight up in the air, and we get the camera visual from above him. You're like,
I know. Great stuff. Good cinematography. Like I said, great dialogue. Some of the shot compositions are like a comic book panels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it reminded me of. Also, great score. Did you like the score?
Yeah, I love the score. I love the scene where Durant goes after that Asian guy, and he's like, "You will give me the money that you owe me before I finish this this cigar."
Yeah.
And he pulls out his cigar cutter and cuts off most of the cigar.
I know. That's great. Yeah, in Chinatown.
Yeah.
And I feel this is an underrated film, and the executives should have done a much better job of marketing this guy. They actually did market it well, actually. I just wish they would have taken the time to really nurture this and made better films, because this could have been a lot more than two sequels.
Right, yeah.
You know, I just see this as such a great character. I guess it made like about $15 million, or it was made for $15 million. It made about $50 million.
Yeah,
hey, back in 1990. You know, if you get a chance, watch it, because even though it's, like you said, it's aged a little bit, it's still a fun movie.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, what makes it great is the dialogue, I feel.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to see this rebooted. I'm thinking Alexander Skarsgård as Darkman.
Mm-hmm.
The real estate developer, not Durant, but the developer that Durant worked for.
Mm-hmm.
I think should be played by Liam Neeson.
Yeah, that would be good.
And then Durant should be played by Dwayne Johnson.
Really, Dwayne Johnson?
Yeah, I think he'd make a great, like, just, you know, because Durant reminds me of, like, Kingpin.
Yeah, and you need, like, a bigger-than-life, you know, Yeah, I could.
And I mean, Vince D'Onofrio is amazing as Kingpin,
but he's already Kingpin.
He's already Kingpin.
He's taken.
Right? I think Dwayne Johnson would make a good Kingpin.
I don't see him as Robert Durant.
Really?
I don't. But I would be open to it because he is, you know, he's fun to watch too. Even though he's not the best actor, I feel, but
sure,
he would be fun in that role.
Mm-hmm.
I feel. I love this whole tone of the Phantom of the Opera-esque feel, that tormented soul thing, yeah. You know? And the scene where he sticks Rick's, who's, Rick is played by Sam Raimi. He's one of Durant's henchmen. He's the one with the glasses, the nerdy guy. When he sticks him up through the manhole, and he's like, and then he gets squashed. Great stuff. Manhole. also, that revolving door scene in Chinatown with the two Durants.
Man. Yes.
Love that. I remember seeing that commercial. I'm like, I've got to see that.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Also, that part when he breaks the Carney's fingers in a fit of rage.
Yeah.
Love it. Love that scene when he goes ape shit, when he gets that rage in him, you know, like the Hulk.
Right. And I think the fact that Raimi showed explosions behind his eyes and stuff that was a good...
This distorted vision gets all mad. I love the line. My favorite line in this is when Rudy is looking for Smiley and it's like, chinga tu madre, Smiley! Where are you? Love that. Love it. Everything was just a perfect mesh of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good action, good pace. You know, good characters.
Yeah.
It just felt like you were watching a comic book.
Yeah.
Also, you know what else? I love at the end when you see Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, yep.
In a, you know, just it's, a little... it's Westlake in a different mask. Yeah, a little thing. And then he just like pulls up his collar and walks away. Great ending.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you catch it, if you happen to, I don't know if you caught it, but when Darkman's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And he's recovering. That nurse is Jenny Agutter. She's a nurse in an American Werewolf in London.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And one of her students is John Landis, a director.
Really?
Yeah. So anyway, I thought this character of Darkman has a very unique and excellent style. It reminded me of the abominable Dr. Fibes, played by Vincent Price, if you ever get a chance.
Oh,
great film.
Oh, man. It's been probably 40 years since I've seen that movie.
Prehistoric.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to guess you gave this film 8 skulls.
Yeah, I gave it 8. 8. Actually, yeah, I'd say watch this if you get a chance, even though, like I said, it's a little old, but I think it's worth a watch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think you gave this probably an 8.
You did give it an 8, mm-hmm. Yes. You know, I enjoyed the daylights out of this.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's kind of a stretch to call this horror.
Yeah, no. It's action superhero with horror elements.
Yeah.
He's horrific. He's really Spawn when you think about
it. Yeah,
he's Spawn. He's an early protege or version of Spawn. And when you really look at the pacing and style of this film, I have to say that I only see Sam Raimi as the only one that could have done Spider-Man.
Yeah. I mean, I think if they had made him more of a anti-hero,
mm-hmm.
so that he was, you know, his fits of rage and stuff like that, he was really horrific. And if he was being brutal to not only the criminals and stuff like that, but in the fits of rage, you know, he was a danger to other people.
But he was,
I think that would have been more horrifying.
Well, yeah, but he was. I mean, he hurt that guy at the carnival.
Yeah,
but that was kind of like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, because that would have been like his, like, you know how they say Batman's not psychologically well,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that would have been his handicap, I guess.
Right, yeah.
You know?
But other than that, I think the whole Darkman idea was brilliant, and I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, me too. I've always loved this movie, and I guess there was comic books out about Darkman I don't remember seeing.
No, I don't remember either, but... Mm.
It's a shame because there was like 2 sequels and they both kind of just are obscure.
I didn't see the third one.
No.
The second one, which we're about to cover.
Yeah.
You know, the only actor that returned was the guy who played Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. So we each gave this one, Darkman, 8 skulls.
Mm-hmm.
And so before we move on to the sequel, here's a little information about our Patreon. Hey, horror fans. Shriek Previews has got a Patreon at patreon.com/shriekpreviews. And for just $4 a month, you can become a patron of our podcast and help Dan and I become a little less poor. You know, we put money into this podcast with podcast hosting and streaming services and movie tickets and stuff. And it is a labor of love so that every week we can bring you quality content and reviews about horror movies. So if you could please find it in your heart to give us a little bit of money, we would greatly appreciate it, and hopefully it would save us from dying in a horrific manner. If you can't, then there's other ways you can support us by telling a friend or coworker about the Shriek Previews podcast. You can leave a 5-star review at your favorite podcast directory, or you can even take the link to this very episode and put it on the social media platform of your choice. These are all ways you can spread the love of Shriek Previews to others who may not be listeners yet. But it's better if you just give us money. Okay, so Darkman 2. Robert Durant is back, and he's back to his crime lord shenanigans. He spent over 2 years in a coma. Now he's awake and largely uninjured, even if he was in a helicopter that crashed and exploded. Mm-hmm. Westlake, aka Darkman, teamed up with another scientist to perfect the artificial skin, but then Durant had the guy killed so he could buy his factory. A reporter breaks the news of Durant's return on the news, and in a mere 10 minutes later is blown up by a bomb in her car. Darkman ends up victorious and defeats Durant again, blowing up his car. He says some final words, miraculously saying the words without his mouth moving in the stellar makeup job he's been given, and the movie ends. Darkman 2 was not directed by Sam Raimi.
No, and it shows.
Yeah.
And Bradford May directed this.
Yeah. And then Westlake's, a.k.a. Darkman, he was played by the guy who was the mummy.
The mummy, yeah. Oslo or something. I forget his name. Yeah. I can't remember.
I think he did an okay job with what he had to work with.
Yeah.
But the story, first of all, I'm sorry, there's no way Durant comes back.
No. From a helicopter crash. Yeah.
And explosion. Mm. And he's got one tiny little scar.
Yeah. No fucking way.
And this movie seemed to be more about Durant than Darkman.
Yeah.
Darkman seems like a secondary character. Yeah. I have no desire to see Darkman 3, which is called Die, Darkman, Die.
Oh, man. I felt that it started out with an interesting opening of mixing original footage with the new scenes with a new actor.
Mm-hmm.
However, I felt that it was too long of a fucking recap, man.
Yeah.
Explaining who Darkman was and how he came to be. It seems to go into blah, blah, blah mode after 2 minutes of this.
Right.
Larry Drake as Durant was nice to see back, but the fact is that the character returning seemed contrived to me. It seemed like just not, you know, what I wish I could have seen a different, I would have rather seen a different villain.
Yeah.
It would have made him more complex and more creative. Not just Darkman, but the whole series.
Right. And I didn't feel like Durant's henchman this time
around. Oh, not memorable.
Yeah.
And no offense to the late, great Larry Drake. Loved his work on L.A. Law as Benny. But the film had Darkman spend too much time as Westlake, not enough Darkman.
Right. And here's the thing, too. Like, he goes out into public as Darkman.
Yeah.
When he can, we can see that he
with
can.
With a shopping cart and shit in the middle with
like
the kids.
He looks like a hobo, yeah. Whatever. And
you'd think some adult near the playground would have reported him or something.
Right, yeah.
I just felt that, the film, first of all, lost a lot of its comic book edge and style.
Mm-hmm.
Christ almighty, this film seems like it aged faster than the original. It had the mid-80s quality and feel to it.
Yeah.
I don't like how they didn't keep Darkman's voice gravely either. Sounded more like a Hungarian count.
Yeah. And when you look at the makeup job, you know, Darkman's, his teeth kind of like show from between the bandages.
Uh-huh.
but you can tell it's a mask because when he's talking,
yeah,
the teeth don't move.
Yeah, I was gonna say it looks too much latex like a mask.
Yeah.
I don't like this whole silly angle that he has all this high-tech bullshit underground and he has a rail service vehicle. Right. Too Batman-esque, man, to do it that way.
Yeah, and he's got
GPS all these. Yeah. The goons, like we said, were unmemorable, unlike the first film. The one thing that really got me on this one is, why couldn't we have quality goons at the very least, man? Mm-hmm. He had great scenes. I'm sorry, no great scenes, no great dialogues, and then no goons, no good henchmen.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. No. The dialogue was terrible.
This movie just fell short in so many ways.
Oh, my God. The comedy writing was painful.
Yeah.
When the film attempted to be funny, like that part when they're in Durant's golfing in a roof and everybody's like applauding him, you know, for golf. Mm-hmm. It's just dumb. It just wasn't funny. Why was there a golf cart on the roof?
Right.
Anyway, and then the scene starts off cloudy when they get there, and when the car falls down, it's nice and sunny. Nice and it was sunny. Very weird. It was cool to see the stove burner markings on the side of Director Brinkman. I kind of dug that for some reason. That stuck out. I think that, Arnold Vosloo. Vosloo is his name, is the guy that plays. Yeah.
Darkman.
Yeah. He doesn't give us enough, what does the Jews call it? Chutzpah. Chutzpah. He doesn't have that.
Chutzpah.
Chutzpah. Thank you. I've seen him in other stuff where he's good. Like mm-hmm. you said, The Mummy, he was great. The film was just dumb and boring.
Yeah, I think he did fine with what he had to work with, but
yeah.
It wasn't much.
No. All this fuckery about purchasing Brinkman's building, and he happens to be in the same field as Westlake. Come fucking on, man.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they find another inconspicuous industrial building somewhere, man? Why did it have to be that one? I mean, I guess it's part of the, you know, they have to connect, but it was just so silly. I don't know.
Overall, I felt this movie was just trying to be more of the same as well. It was Westlake impersonating people trying to beat Durant.
But you don't get enough of that either.
No,
one.
You it don't. Just,
you know, at least Durant, nothing, you got enough. But
there was no clever new twist or angle for it.
Yeah, it just... The scenes where Westlake gets all angry and sees sparks flying with effects are so lackluster. It should have been a badass thing. Like when Bill Bixby got tinnitus and he turns into the Incredulous Hulk, you know? Fuck.
Yeah. The Incredulous
Hulk. The Incredulous Hulk, you know. So. Just towards the end, during the big climax, it's mega important for Westlake to don his hat and cloak to be able to kick ass, man. Did you see that? I just don't know. And then when Westlake's subduing Durant at the end, it sounds like the boys in the editing room dubbed Westlake with a Scottish accent. It sounded like he said, "I got you, bastard. You'll pay for what you've done." I don't know if you caught that, but it sounded like that. Just an unmemorable film.
So I'm going to guess you gave this... Two skulls.
And I think you gave this 3.
I also gave it 2.
2.
Yeah.
We're so in sync now.
Right, we
you
are.
You get that? Yeah.
A lot of times. Mm. Not always.
No.
But
we're pretty close, yeah. You know.
But this one was definitely just not good.
Not at all. You know, I don't think this had a theatrical release. This must have just been like a
straight to video,
right? Back when straight to video was a thing.
Yeah, when video was a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, VHS.
Yeah.
So that is Darkman and Darkman 2. We each gave Darkman 8 skulls, and we gave Darkman 2. We each gave this one 2 skulls. So the two movies combined could be 10 skulls, but I think what it is like the 2 skulls take away from the 8 skulls of the first, giving the overall franchise a 6 skull.
Right? Holy shit.
Yeah. You know, because 2...
No two more is kind sequels of like, for this one.
In my opinion, Darkman is kind of like The Matrix in that they should have stopped after one movie.
Yeah. I agree.
But, and like I said, I think the original Darkman with today's visual effects and things like that, I think would be absolutely stellar.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah, man, that would be so good to watch, to see him come back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, as is our tradition, after we finish reviewing some movies, we watch a trailer, and there's a movie that we've been kind of hearing whispers about for a while now, and they finally dropped a trailer. I will put the link in the show notes so listeners, you can watch along, but come back afterwards and listen to Dan and I talk about the trailer for The Quiet Place Day One. Stan, what'd you think?
Did you just call me Stan?
I called you Dan.
It sounded like Stan to me. So, Dan!
What'd you think?
I thought, I can't wait to see this. It looks really good.
This looks fucking awesome.
This looks amazing. When the creatures at the very end of the trailer are coming down through, you know, they're going to crash through the
skylights, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll recall a couple of years ago, Quiet Place 2 kind of swept, I think, our first Shrieker Award.
Yeah.
And Quiet Place 1 was also an amazing, well, not Quiet Place 1, but Quiet Place was an amazing film. And so this is the prequel.
Mm-hmm. So I think the original characters are not involved much in this.
I don't think so.
The impression I get. Jimon Hounsou, he's the guy from the part two, right? The guy with the nice car. Am I thinking the wrong movie? This guy here.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Wasn't he in part two?
I don't recall. I know there was a guy at like the like the little community of survivors.
Yeah, that was.
I don't remember if that was him.
Yeah, that was him.
Was it?
He was the one that dies. He's got, I think, a nice car, and he gets away, you know, from that town or whatever, that little commune. I don't remember what.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, it was like a little commune.
Mm-hmm. Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, she's in this.
She's from a lot of Jordan Peele movies.
Yeah,
she was in Us, and I think she was also in.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember her from Us. I can't wait to see this.
Yeah.
Looking forward. And this is coming out in June.
June, yeah. So this summer.
Yeah.
Coming out. So, yeah, going to be exciting. We will definitely cover this one.
Oh, yeah.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you come and listen to us talk about horror movies week in and week out. Please reach out to us at shriekpreviews@gmail.com, or you can tag us on Instagram, Shriek Previews Podcast, or on our TikTok, which is just Shriek Previews. Reach out to us, talk to us, interact with us, make suggestions of movies you'd love for us to cover. We appreciate you very much, and we will talk at you next week.